Coming to you from the Lou Hughes Automotive Studios, Ben Fred Fridays, and our chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and KTRS Radio. This is presented by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, the National Children's Cancer Society, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, and our good friends at Schnucks. Want to remind you a very important date that is coming up. That'll be on January 26th. If you're a baseball fan, you don't want to miss this. I'll be a part of it. Seventh year coming up that we've done this. And this is to battle childhood cancer. Seventh annual Evening with the Cardinals this year. Our featured guests will be Cardinals Hall of Famers Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. Past 6 years, the event has raised over $1.3 million for families battling childhood cancer. Special feature has been added to this year's event, and that will be a VIP conversation with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Evening with the Cardinals. That'll take place January 26th at St. Louis Union Station Hotel Grand Ballroom. There's a private photo session, silent auction, dinner, cocktails, and the Q&A with Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. To be a sponsor or to get your tickets, just head to thenccs.org. thenccs.org. And that is Changing Lives, and the National Children's Cancer Society is based right here in St. Louis. A reminder that we'll have a preview of Blues hockey coming up on the website, and that'll be with Chris Raby. Don't want to miss that, and you don't want to miss being at Hot Shots tonight because they'll have the Blues game. Score a hat trick of savings with great food, drink specials available during every Blues game, including Bud Family beer specials, Jack Daniels cocktails, Blues Sampler appetizers, and the all-new Golden Breck cocktail for $5, and that's at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, founded in 1997. They now have 16 locations in St. Louis. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. I take both my boys there. I go there and get my hair cut. And all that for just $22, the perfect haircut at Hair Saloon for Men. So there's so much to get into with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch. We talk so much about baseball, whether it be Paul Goldschmidt coming to St. Louis, Bryce Harper, where does that stand? So much of our conversation is about those two. We'll get into the XFL coming to St. Louis. MLS, where does that stand? And a little talk about Mizzou and Barry Odom getting an extension. Maybe the best recruit in the country coming to play quarterback for Barry Odom's Missouri Tigers. All that coming up. Ben Fred Fridays on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. At the Home Loan Expert Office, we truly bleed blue. We skate around the competition and we get our clients lower rates on better loans. If the credit cards have you in the penalty box, let us get you out with a cash out refinance. The 5-minute loan approval available at thehomeloanexpert.com. All together now.
Let's go Blues!
Enjoy the podcast.
We're coming to you from the Lou Hughes Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And a chance, as always, on a Friday morning to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and KTRS Radio. And, you know, there really wasn't just very much going on this week in the world of sports. And it all basically hit on one afternoon, didn't it?
So we usually recap the week that was and the week that will be. Today we're going to recap Thursday.
Yeah, that's, it pretty much happened about a three-hour period, too.
I mean, it really started like Wednesday because it's so fun. It was so fun to be in the Post-Dispatch office yesterday because I'm telling you, man, like, there are days that go by where you're in there like, what are we going to write about? Like, they're just dog days, right? But then there are days like yesterday where it's just insane. Wednesday, you know, I'm talking about Wednesday, not Thursday, but where it's one story after the next. It started Wednesday. You had Kelly Bryant, you know, commits to Mizzou, which is a huge deal. You have the top grad transfer in the country decides to play football at Mizzou to be its next quarterback. Then you have the XFL says it's coming to town, and then the U.S. women's soccer team's coming to town, and then you have, Paul Goldschmidt decides to come play for the Cardinals. You have the Rams agreeing to pay PSL holders.
Love it.
And then I'm like forgetting like something like at least like two major events right there. It was wild. It was fun. It was cool to see, the veteran Jim Thomas cover everything
all
from the
it.
XFL coming to town to the Rams paying PSLs, then hustling off to do a hockey chat
and watch
cover a hockey
maybe
game.
The best player in the world score
How
a goal
that?
In our town.
I mean, it was chaotic and fun, and I imagine that we'll spend most of the time today talking about Paul Goldschmidt, as we should, but just a fun day that kind of reminded us that, man, it's a great sports town.
I thought, and good point, and well put, I thought the Goldschmidt trade, I thought it was going to happen just because the Cardinals, and I still don't think the Cardinals are out on Harper. I know I'm in the minority on this. I never thought they were in on Machado. I always thought that they would make an impact trade and get an impact bat. Goldschmidt seemed to, as we went along the last few weeks, that was the one that kept on coming to the forefront. I never thought that they would make the deal with the players that they made the deal with. I thought for sure, when people would ask me about it, I thought for sure the name that would come up, number one, they would say, meaning they, Arizona would say, Jack Flaherty, the Cardinals say, absolutely not. And Arizona, knowing that, would say, okay, because that's how you start high and then start going the next peg down. And Dakota Hudson, and I thought the Cardinals would say, all right, we'd be willing to maybe part with him. I mean, to get something, you got to give up something. And I cannot believe that is not part of this deal. Now, having said that, I understand he's got 1 year left on the contract. It's a gamble for the Cardinals, but Luke Weaver, to me, is not a major league pitcher right now, and that may change. Carson Kelly is blocked by Yadier Molina, needed to change the scenery, as did Weaver, and you get a minor leaguer out of the deal. Money is no longer, to me, an issue with major league teams to an extent. Now, Bryce Harper money is a different story, but it's about controllable years, and they get controllable years back. I'm just floored. I don't know. When I heard the names, I was just floored. And again, I hope those guys have great careers and they're good people and they move on and do well, but I was floored that Dakota Hudson was not part of this deal.
Well, when I read the return, I thought I missed a name. And I don't mean that as a slight at the guys who are going. I mean, you won't find better guys to deal with and cover than Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly. And I'm really actually happy for Carson because he was kind of beyond his expiration date here.
Yes.
As a prospect. And he was a pretty good, he wore it well, but it was wearing on him. I think that's a good way of putting it.
No doubt.
It's not easy to be, at one point, the top catching prospect in baseball, right behind a Hall of Fame catcher who prides himself in never taking a day off. When you have Carson Kelly playing significantly fewer games than Francisco Peña, and the organization has said multiple times that he has nothing left to prove in Memphis, something's not working. And kind of the emergence of Andrew Kisner has really, it didn't make Carson expendable, but it made him the prospect that you're most likely to move. And I think the Diamondbacks will be happy with him. I think Carson's a better hitter than we've seen in the majors.
Probably.
He's had very limited chances. They've been kind of in bursts. He's got to figure out how to get some power showing up at the major league level, but I think this will be really good for him. Now, Weaver, last year was a concerning year. I don't know that he's that bad, but I also know the Cardinals have about 10 Luke Weavers. He was, if you had to list the Cardinals pitchers that you most likely, you least likely wanted to see moved, he was pretty far down on that list. And we have recency bias, but I do think in terms of future potential, Luke Weaver might be your third or fourth or fifth starter, maybe, if that's best case scenario. And maybe you don't think that, but the Cardinals have a lot of those guys.
You know, Ben, they had, in my opinion, they had 11 on the list, 11 potential starters going into the winter meetings next week prior to this trade, with
right.
Weaver being one of them. And I mean major league starters with major league experience. I would have put him at 11. And again, I think you said it right, recent bias. If you would have said this deal took place this time last year, I would have said,
people would be going nuts. I mean, fans would be upset.
Said, man, Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly? I don't know about that. You know, that's a lot to give up, but you know, both guys just didn't have great years, and again, they might be very good major league players. And I think if you're looking at it from the Arizona lens, that's what you're buying.
Yes,
and I get that,
and I get why Arizona liked the deal, and I get why it worked. I get why the Cardinals liked it, because the Cardinals, if anything, can be accused of prospect hoarding, right? Like they have all these
sure.
guys that are kind of similar, and it's really good depth, but you're also like, when are you going to turn it into something? This deal does that. They gave up what could be replaced, what they have on their radar prospect-wise, and got something they didn't have and didn't have coming. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is, I mean, we don't need to sit here and talk about how good he is, but I feel like maybe we should, because sometimes I think people who are so dead set on Harper are almost kind of not realizing how good Paul Goldschmidt is.
Really good.
And he's at risk of being underappreciated because he's low key, because he just wants to go play baseball. He's almost Mike Troutish in terms of not wanting attention and stardom, but one of the best active hitters in baseball right now, period, bar none. When you look at his production, his reliability, he's not, you know, people say, well, what about the left-handed bat? He hits both sides. He hits both hands. This is not a split guy. He's going to play every day. He's going to give you gold glove defense at first base, which helps the Cardinals because they've had bad first base defense. That's been a big problem with their errors the past couple seasons. And he's going to anchor a lineup. And you hope that Marcell Ozuna has the kind of year that you think he can going into a contract season. So
both guys going into a contract season. If I'm one or two in that lineup, I'm salivating about what I'm going to see.
And you have, you know, Carp, who had MVP votes and a legitimate MVP run at point. And I didn't finish out strong, but he got MVP. I mean, you have three guys in the top four hitters of your lineup who have received serious MVP consideration within the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
What do you think? I said this on Bernie Miklas's show and Michelle Smallman's show yesterday. I'm thinking outside the box here. This is really thinking outside the box, so I'm going to give myself credit. But you might think I'm an idiot, too. You can go into the winter meetings now with Hudson dangling, and I'm not saying he's going to get traded. I mean, if they didn't give him up in this deal, clearly they love him. I love him. I don't want to see him go either. But if you really want to get creative, and they could, I would wonder what the marketplace is for Colton Wong. If you wanted to go out and get a corner, another impact bat, and shift Carpenter to second because of his versatility, I'm just thinking outside the box. I wonder if that changes the game with what you think up the middle, too.
I wonder about that because the flexibility there is Jed Jerko.
Right.
Jed can play. The best part about Jed is he can give you reliable defense pretty much anywhere. Now, you wouldn't want to play him at short over a long period of time, but he's really good at third, and he handles short, and he handles second. Trading Colton, to me, would go a little bit against the Cardinals' mantra of being strong up the field defensively. I mean, you're not going to put a better second baseman defensively. It's in Colton Wong.
I would agree with
and
that.
And I think Matt Carpenter's weakest position defensively is second base.
Yeah.
So I would be worried about that to some degree. I like the defense up the middle when you have Colton and Paul. I don't think Paul gets enough credit for the defensive strides that he made last year. But when you – Matt and Paul up the middle is a little shaky, I think, defensively. So that would be my reservation there.
Agreed. I'm just thinking outside the box.
But I think, too, that's – you're thinking right in terms of how they head into winter meetings. And you mentioned Harper. And if you ask me today, do I think the Cardinals are going to sign Bryce Harper, I would say no.
I agree.
Now – can they, whatever term that you use to kind of monitor, you know, have a toe in those waters, like whatever you
right.
know you would want to call it. Yeah, they're not going to come out now and say, we don't want Bryce Harper. They're going to watch it. And if, you know, if that market changes or if Harper all of a sudden decides he sees Paul Goldschmidt and goes, man, St. Louis looks a little more appealing. I think those conversations will continue. Do I think the Cardinals should go after Bryce? Yeah, I still like the idea of that. Do I think they will? I don't see it now because they've been pretty upfront the past few seasons about identifying their needs and going out and getting them. They said they needed the middle of the order bat. They went out and got one of the best options available, period. Paul Goldschmidt was really the only guy that I thought the Cardinals could get, and you would not sit there and just wish about Bryce Harper. So I don't know that they're going to go get two now, especially with the way they're talking about Dexter, because to me they're almost starting a low key campaign to kind of give Dexter another shot at this. Now we'll see how that goes. I have some reasons for skepticism there, but I mean, I do think they've put themselves in a spot to go into winter meetings to listen to Harper, see if something happens there, you know, see what the way that plays out, but also look for advantageous, perhaps unpredictable ways to improve. Another thing worth mentioning is they still have a ton of money to spend.
I don't think they're
going to spend less money this year than they spent last year. They shouldn't. And they're only paying Goldschmidt $14.5 million bucks,
and a lot of guys coming off the books too.
Absolutely. So I think there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it as, man, they really put themselves in a spot where they could have a departing of big talent next year. But also, you know, I don't see the problem in that because no one thought at this point a year ago that they would enter this offseason looking for a middle of the order bat. Their thought was that they had gotten one in Marcell Ozuna.
Right.
So, I mean, these the outlook changes every year. So I don't understand the people now who are going, oh, my God, you know, next year all this talent could come off the books. Yeah, and next year Nolan Arenado could be a free agent. And the Cardinals could go after him. So, I mean, the panic over 2020 already is a little confusing to me.
I worry about now.
Well, yeah, and worry about improving this team better. You've got a ton of money to go get to go, you know, reshape your bullpen now. To me, it's kind of funny because, you know, when we had the postseason press conference, Mo sat up there and was asked Harper question. And he kind of talked about, look, you know, you can't worry about, you know, everybody looks at next season. We look at down the line. And he's talking about a long-term plan and the impact that a big contract can have on that. But really, the answer that they have with Paul is right now the shortest-term plan. You've got an incredible MVP-type candidate who's here for 1 year guaranteed, and you're a much better team for 2019 with big questions about 2020. Now, I think they probably want to extend him, right? But, you know, it's no guarantee that he wants that, and there's also no guarantee that they'll want to give him what he wants to get. He's 31. He's also remarkable 31. I mean, he plays every day. I looked this up yesterday. He hasn't been placed on the DL since 2014.
Got hit on the wrist.
He plays, I mean, he plays every day. He's the Yadier Molina of first base. He plays good
steals
defense.
Steals bases.
He still runs well. And he plays a position that, you know, if you have to age at, that's the one you want to be
at. That's right.
So I don't know that I'm as hesitant about extending him as I would be some players, you know, like a center fielder or a shortstop, because, you know, he is a pretty good physical specimen and has remarkable health so far.
I'm curious. I want to go back to Harper, and I'll touch upon this briefly. People ask me, as they ask you all the time, I agree with you. I don't count the Cardinals out. I never say never. I said, if this deal gets done, I think the only way it gets done is if Bill DeWitt Jr. goes in that room with Scott Boras and Bryce Harper and they strike a deal. I don't think this is something that's done at the level of John Mozeliak. I mean, certainly he's going to be in touch with everybody,
right,
and Michael Gersh and others, but this is probably an ownership-type deal to say, this is something I want to make happen, and I'm willing to sign off on it, and I'm comfortable with it.
Well, that's how Boras works. He works
right
through the owners, and it would have to be, you know, Bill DeWitt showing a side that we haven't, and I'm not, and this isn't me saying I don't think he wants to win. Of course he wants to win. That's all they do is consistently win.
Right.
This would be a sign of him that says we're going all in, and, you know, and worrying about the future later. That has not been a tendency we've seen the Cardinals take. Now, I know the fans are clamoring for that, and to me, Harper is the only free agent outfielder that makes sense to really sort through the mess that you would have to do to get it. He is that much of an upgrade. I don't know that Michael Brantley or, you know, anyone else out there that's really easily attainable is worth going through the headache of figuring out what to do with Fowler and Tyler O'Neill and Jose Martinez even. There's between, you know, the other available pieces, you see what you get out of those three options, out of Jose, Dexter, and Tyler O'Neill. Harper's the only one that's worth saying, no, we're going to put him here, figure out the rest later. And I just don't know that the Cardinals are now going to have as much incentive as it is for Harper opposed to some other teams. I mean, someone's going to get greedy on Bryce and go somewhere
yes
that the Cardinals, with Goldschmidt in hand, probably aren't willing to go. That's how I see it headed into winter meetings. We'll see if it changes.
I think the value of Tyler O'Neill has increased because of – and it could change because you could then make another move, but – I'm with you. I think there's a slow campaign quietly yet being slid out there about Dexter Fowler. Let's see what we can get out of him.
Is that because they want him or they want to trade him? I mean, it's fair to wonder, right? But it seems to me like they want him to give him another chance.
I think it's because he's coming back, because I don't think there's a value out there for him, and
right,
there's, you know, too much money that they'd have to eat if they traded him. I mean, statistically, he may have been the worst player in Major League Baseball last year. I mean, you could make that case. So I think the idea is, hey, we bring him back. Plus, the team is so right-handed heavy, so you get a left-handed bat. And the Tyler O'Neill bandwagon has got to be there because – we're not sure about Dex if you're the Cardinals. What are we getting back? And I also think, in my opinion, in watching Tyler O'Neill play, and I love the power at the plate, but I liked him defensively. So if I need a double switch I'm okay with Tyler O'Neill going out in right field in late inning situations, and that's something that would intrigue me. Now, having said that, I'll have you address that. I'm going to throw a crazy one at you, too, because that's what we do on these things. You know who intrigues me? If I could get him, and I would love him under Mike Shildt, and I would love him to play center at times or shift Bader or play him against...
Oh, I know where this is going.
I'd love to see Billy Hamilton here. Bring him in. Let's have a little fun with Billy Hamilton.
Well, if you're going to add a guy like that, add a guy that has something elite that you don't have anywhere else on your team, and that's speed.
Why not?
Every team that gets to the postseason these days seems to have that just track athlete on the bases. He can't hit, right? So let's not even waste our time talking about that. But he can defend. We've seen it. And he can run. And when you look at some of the options in the outfield, you have Marcel, who has been, you know, injured in the past. You have Harrison, who, I mean, we know how the Cardinals feel about Harrison. They made him the face of the offseason. They really have, you know,
right.
Between bringing him back for the uniform reveal and putting him on MLB Network, they're promoting
social
him
media stuff,
as a young
things.
Face
yeah.
of this team. So he's not going anywhere. But we also, he hasn't played a full season.
And I have my concerns with him against right-handed pitching
absolutely.
To an extent.
Yep. Center, and plus the way he plays, all out, reckless.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't look at knock on wood. You don't want to never want to see somebody get hurt, but he plays in a way that, you know, you always wonder if he's going to run through a wall or cut his face open sliding
right.
head first into second base.
Right.
And fans love it, but it is a dangerous style of play. It kind of reminds me of Bryce Harper when he was brand new and a rookie. I mean, when he was a 19-year-old rookie. So there's always that concern there. And then you have, you know, Dexter who's had – the reason I'm concerned about Dexter has nothing to do, you know, with I know he's had some ups and the downs. I'm concerned about his health, physical health. He's had two multiple feet injuries in back-to-back seasons. He's plus 30. He's a speed guy. That combination of concerns usually doesn't age well. So that's my concern there. He's slowed down. If you look at his Statcast speed numbers, he's not as fast as he once was, and I don't know that that's going to reverse when you're plus 30. So I wonder about that. But the Tyler O'Neill is fascinating because he struck out 40% of the time last year.
Exactly.
And the trend the Cardinals are going to is telling us now that they want to improve contact rate. They hired Jeff Albert because they don't want to strike out so much. They want to put more balls in play. They're almost kind of going – it sounds like reverse launch angle type stuff, but if you actually look at the teams that are winning, like the Astros and, you know, in the Red Sox, you have teams that are hitting the ball and putting it in play and not striking out. So where does he fit into that movement? Can he improve that? Can he improve that and still be a major league hitter? There are big questions in right field. And maybe having a guy who can come off and steal you a base like that in his sleep, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I was surprised to see the it's just crazy the way baseball works. I mean, there was a time when he was, you know, perceived to be one of the best players in baseball in terms
Billy
of what
Hamilton.
His skills were. And now he's a free agent. Luke Fuse, we
are St. Louis. It's happened. It's now open. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. The first standalone, ground-up Jeep store in the country. Largest Jeep inventory in St. Louis. If you want a Jeep, Lou Fuse Jeep is the place to go. 22 service bays, accessories, apparel, state-of-the-art facility. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. Lou Fuse, we
are St. Louis. Yeah, he's kind of a... when we're in Cincinnati, he's a lightning rod. Always, you know, talking with the writers there and the broadcasters and those that are friends of mine. We go there all the time that have become lifelong friends that are like season ticket holders and also season ticket holders of the Cardinals. It's odd that I see these people, but they have both. And he's a lightning rod of controversy for both of those that because he has the one thing that is elite. And I mean, no one can touch him in many ways. Speed, and it's something that people love to watch, which is elite speed in the game of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, if he's on your postseason roster,
fun to
and
watch,
he
man.
Steals a key base.
It's Dave Roberts.
I mean, we saw a pinch runner trip going around third last season. I know it's I know it's a sore subject, but I bet you Billy Hamilton doesn't trip there.
Probably not. Let's switch gears. So, well, actually, one more question about baseball: Zach Britton or Andrew Miller? I think the Cardinals clearly are looking at a left-hander in their bullpen. Clearly, in my opinion, you want somebody that has closing experience to back up young Jordan Hicks for a guy that will be 21, 22. You know, you're never sure what you're going to get with a young closer. So
if you can get a guy that's done that before, that's important. And these are two elite lefties. Out of those two guys, if you had a choice, where are you going?
I think Britton. Miller's
leaning that way too.
And look, we all saw what Miller can do when he's right. He's taken a few steps back since then. He's a little, you know, he's getting up there in terms of wear and tear on the arm. I think Britton has, in terms of who's more realistic, it seems like the Cardinals' interest in Britton has been more sustained. There was a time last year when I think everyone thought that was going to happen, and then it didn't. I could see this being the time that goes down.
I agree. Now switch gears. Mizzou. Big week for them. Odom gets the extension. Still not, you know, in the upper echelon of highest paid coaches in the SEC, but really the big news is what happens on the field. And I think most people believe with Barry Odom, he's in his dream job. You know, playing at Mizzou, just wants to be respected. And, you know, $3 million a year, roughly, is respect for him. And as he progresses in the job, he's going to be, again, you keep just piling on the money, and he's... You know it better than I. It just seems to me, outside looking in, he's cool with that. That's the way I take it. But getting the quarterback and the recruiting class that he's getting, it's just everything's going in the right direction right now.
He wishes this season wouldn't end.
I mean,
because you have a team that won four straight, became, you know, number 24 in the college football playoff, then climbed up into the, you know, the AP poll, and then lands Deshaun Watson. You get Kelly Bryant, who replaced Deshaun Watson at Clemson, and then boom, the extension comes out. And let's start with the extension, because I think, you know, when people who are just the natural tendency is to say, well, where does he rank in the SEC? And he didn't climb all that much even in that ranking. But when you look at the fine print of the contract, this is the kind of contract you give a coach that you want to be around for a long time. This is stability. This is security. This is investment in future success. He's going to get, and I don't have it, I should have printed it out so we could talk about it in detail, but he's going to get annual raises when they go to bowl games. He's, you know, an annual bump. He's going to get extensions based off of certain wins. So if you get this many wins, you get a year to your contract. I mean, these are things you put in place when you're trying to set up a long run for a coach and promising him that, you know, if you win this amount of games, you're going to get a raise. If you win this amount of games, you're going to get an extension. And then also, you know, we're going to continue to build in bonuses. I mean, we look at his base salary compared to what he could make with a 9-win season, if like the one they could have if they win their bowl game. And I think they're going to beat Oklahoma State. They got a lot
too.
More to play for in that game. But this is a long-term, let's build in security, let's make you the guy to stick around. And he has to be happy with that. And there's still a chance he'll get more money for his assistant coaches too. They usually do those contracts later on. And I think that's something he'll push for, because he wants to be able to keep these guys. He doesn't want to lose his tight ends coach to Texas A&M. And they offered to beat that salary, but the guy has ties. He wants to keep Derek Dooley as offensive coordinator. He doesn't want somebody coming to poach Derek Dooley. He wants to be able to keep these guys. So that's what he wants too. But I think that's a big win for him contract-wise. I think it's a smart move for Mizzou. I think it was really, really reasonable and just a good move. As far as the quarterback, it's kind of crazy how much that got pushed down in the news cycle.
Were you shocked that they got him?
Yeah. I think I was, because
I mean, Auburn's
now, look,
at, I mean,
I wrote, you know, 2 months or when, as soon as Kelly Bryant announced he was leaving, I wrote a column that said Mizzou has to go all out to get this guy. Because
I thought you were crazy.
For the first time,
why is he gonna come to Mizzou?
For the first time in a long time, we didn't know who the next Mizzou quarterback was.
Right.
And that was the staple under Gary Pinkel. You always knew who was up next.
That's right.
And this was the first time where we didn't know. And that it just made so much sense for them to throw the kitchen sink at the kid. Now, throwing a kitchen sink at a kid and getting him are two completely different things. And I think it really shows how much faith he has in Odom. I think it shows Odom's ability as a recruiter. He went up against Mack Brown, who just got the UNC job. He went up against Gus Malzahn, who had the last official visit with the kid and then went to see him last. And he went up against, you know, pretty much every coach who needs a quarterback for next season, and they came out on top. I think it's a credit to Derek Dooley, who was able to, you know, his proximity to the NFL has a guy's really appeal. And he also is a credit to what this offense brings back. So Kelly Bryant's looking at this as a, you know, he's a Paul Goldschmidt. He's got 1 year,
right?
And there's no chance of an extension. I mean, he's trying to prove that he can play in the NFL. And I don't know that he's an NFL quarterback, but all these guys think they can be.
Sure.
And he was incredible at Clemson. I mean, he only lost two games. during his entire career at Clemson. He got replaced by a guy who's going to be supposed to be an NFL quarterback as a freshman. The kid's a complete beast. It happens when you're at the tip top college
right.
football. So he's a good quarterback. He wants to go someplace where he can prove that 1 year. Mizzou told him, look, three of our offensive linemen are back. Four of our running backs are back. You know, four of our five top pass catchers are back. Albert Ope's probably going to be back because he got hurt, you know, one of the nation's best tight ends. We've got an offensive coordinator who just helped our quarterback turn into one of the top quarterback picks taken. And, you know, we have a chance to be a top 25 team next year if we have you. And no one else could pitch him on that. He had familiarity at Arkansas, but they're terrible. UNC just got a new coach. Auburn, Gus Malzahn's on the hot seat. He, you know, you don't ever really know what's going to happen there. So I think Mizzou had the best pitch, and it's a credit to what Barry was able to accomplish
sure.
this season to be in that conversation.
XFL, are you buying it?
Is it okay to say that I'm open to be entertained? Like, do I think it's going to last long term? No. Am I cautious that people are even going to be interested in it? Yes. If they do it right, and we'll see if they do, I think it could be kind of fun. But I don't think it's going to last, and I think there's almost just a turnoff toward pro football here.
What do you think the reaction was of the fans? Yeah.
I think that's kind of what it was. Now we'll see how they pitch it, right? Because there's a way to do this, and I was actually, you know, Jim Thomas has some great theories on this that are fun but also true. What if you just turned it into like St. Louis football reunion tour? What if you go? I mean, Mike Martz is coaching in that other no-name
that
football league.
That would be interesting.
If
yes.
you brought back Mike Martz, if you made Isaac Bruce the offensive coordinator,
people might support.
If you
it.
Tried to go say, "Hey, Chase Daniel, if you're done in the NFL, you want to come play for this?" I mean, apparently they have enough money that they're going to be competitive for non-NFL players, so they could be able to. They should be able to pull players from maybe the CFL. James Franklin, former Mizzou quarterback,
yeah.
is playing up in Canada. I just wonder if they really focused on making it
a
guys with local
thing.
Ties.
Yeah.
I think I'd go watch it. Now, if it's a bunch of no-name guys who couldn't pan out in the NFL, then I don't know if I'm interested. But if it's guys I know. And guys that I want to see, then yeah, I think it could have a little niche here.
What so the dome holds? What was it typically on a 65,000?
Yeah,
something
I mean,
like that. Roughly,
it won't be. I mean, they would have to. What they should try to do is figure out a way to kind of decrease the available seating
games. So, if you had to guess on a Sunday or whatever they're going to play, what do you think? How many people do you think they'd get in that thing?
Man, I mean, could they get 20 in the beginning?
I don't know.
Now, if they're good, then maybe. But I think people want to come out and see it early. But as far as year two, year three, I don't know, man.
I found it interesting. What was it, eight teams, right?
Yeah.
And seven of the eight teams have NFL cities, and we're the only one that does not.
See, I don't understand that approach. If I were them, I would go specifically – well, I would have targeted St. Louis as a team that – you know, a city that lost. I think I understand that reasoning. Although I'm not sure they quite understand the distaste for pro football that's here right now, and they didn't seem to do a lot of buzz. Like they didn't seem to do any sort of let's get out and get people pumped. They just kind of announced it was coming, and everyone's kind of like, "What?"
Right.
I mean, we had stories about it maybe coming, but we knew they had talked to the dome,
right?
But they didn't seem to be that interested in like building a buzz. So we'll see how that works.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling, and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks.
I would have put them in places where they didn't have NFL.
Right.
Like, why would you put one in L.A.? Like no one in LA is gonna. I would rather go watch a Lakers practice.
Maybe
than an
TV
XFL
markets,
game.
I guess, you know.
But I think they're gonna. I apologize for not knowing more about this. I need to dive in, but I think they're gonna like stream their own games, aren't they?
So I don't know. My interest level is about a point.
But that
one.
Tells us something, right? That we're both, like, I mean, we both are probably pretty tuned into what's going on in sports in town. I would say
the only
not
thing
to pat
I,
ourselves on the back too much, and we're sitting here going, I don't know.
Well, the
so
only
I don't
thing
know if average Joe
is
going to be that excited.
I just wanted to have a. I tweeted out late last night that I wanted to have a "He Hate Me" bobblehead day, and I would show up for that.
I thought you might be trying to get on the call for the game.
No,
so
I'm
no,
good.
No interest there.
No, I'm.
But is
quite
it?
Happy
is it?
With
am
my
I
gig.
Being? Am I being a being Pollyanna if I say that it might be kind of fun if they turn it into reunion tour?
Yeah, I think that would be cool, and I think it'd be cool if I heard from Mike Martz again, and you know, just some of his clips and you know, goofiness.
Look,
and
they're gonna play like five games here in town. I mean, right. It's not the NFL. It's not gonna be this big thing.
If my kids want to go down there, I would take them.
Yeah, the timing of it's a little probably odd. Well, for
they
St.
are
Louis.
Doing. You know, Jim in his article brought up a good point in the fact that it's non-NFL season, which is key. Which
right.
other leagues that have tried it have gone head to head with the NFL, and you're not going to win that battle. So when you're doing it, you know, roughly after the Super Bowl, going into baseball season, and wrap it up at that point, yeah, you'd have a chance, but. Here in St. Louis, you know, to me, that's when the hockey season, like if the hockey team is good.
I remember those days.
Yeah, those are fun. That's when, you know, fans really start to pay attention and you'll see the ratings on TV up and people are looking at a playoff push and Enterprise Center is packed. You know, bring it here, whatever. But if it doesn't work, here's my concern. What if it doesn't work, number one? But what if it here in St. Louis, it's not supported, okay? And then, St. Louis just doesn't support football.
No, that won't happen because, look, I don't think anyone except Vince McMahon really thinks this could even last. So if the XFL flops here, then anyone who tries to try it out, the St. Louis doesn't support – oh, shut up. Okay, if the XFL flops here – the XFL flops everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just an interesting time here now because there's a few different things going on. You have kind of this backlash toward pro football. I think there's people think I over-dramatize this, but I think there's a genuine kind of distancing of St. Louis from pro football.
I do too.
Maybe the sport in general. When you look at the participation levels in local high schools, some teams are having problems even fielding a team. Some
yes.
teams have got rid of their JV teams. This is happening all over the country. It's not specific to St. Louis, but I imagine that it might be a little more expedited here in St. Louis.
I found it amazing at the Board of Aldermen meeting with the MLS when the school superintendent of the public schools came out and said, well, I support MLS and their fight first are trying to make this happen in the stadium. But one of the things that he pointed to is that we're seeing a rapid decline. And I think it really got the attention of the Board of Aldermen. He said, we're seeing a rapid decline of our kids not playing football. And I don't, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, our parents aren't sending their kids to play it and our kids aren't playing it. And I think that really got the attention of the Board of Aldermen. They were like, oh, you know, you just don't hear that a lot. And we're going to get into your article about that in just a second. So there's two more things I want to get into. I thought it was awesome to hear that season ticket holders, PSL holders, are getting their money back. And that is a huge win for football fans here in St. Louis. And when people talk about the fact that, and this is one of the main points I will always point towards when people say, well, fans in St. Louis did not support pro football. I can always cite remarkable lack of winning numbers here and lack of winning in a dramatic fashion.
Continued employment of a coach who continued to go 7-9.
Right.
Game.
And
who
still
was actually fired when the team decided it wanted to win. It's shocking. I know.
And still the dome was filled and, you know, that's one thing. But then you go back to when the Rams came here and the amount of PSLs that were sold in a 24-hour period and then turned away because they oversold them. Essentially, they were sold out. I mean, it was unbelievable, which had never ever happened before. So that is unbelievable. So now, fast forward to what we have now, 2018, and refunds, and this is a huge win for fans here in town.
Yeah, I love it, and I'm just happy that they saw it through, and I know it's not, you know, if you look at what it actually is, it is probably people getting a check that maybe makes their Christmas a little better.
Yeah.
Some people are going to get, you know, a significant amount of money.
I think it's pride.
But it is just an example of saying, hey, you backed out on a deal, and you don't get to do that without paying for it. When you make a deal, if you and I had a deal and I just ghosted you on it, then you would say, no, you made a deal, let's stick to it. And if I was a decent person, I would say, you're right. We need to, you know, acknowledge the deals that we made.
Make good.
The Rams
right.
made a deal. They backed out on it. There's nothing illegal about that, but you should have given back what you were, what you promised people that you made deals with. And this was an example of them, of course, not wanting to do that. And the fans saying, you know what, no, we're going to make sure this is right. So basically what it is you had your PSL, which gave you a right, you know, you paid for, you know, a right for that many years, and this gets them the money back for the years that they didn't have an option to go to games. So, I mean, it's completely sensible. This is not an example of settling in terms of they lost something or they didn't get their best. This is an example of this made sense. They got it back. And now, to me, if I'm following this kind of from the bigger view, it's another example of the Rams, a reason why the Rams are not going to want to go to trial in this relocation lawsuit.
What do you think is going to happen?
I hope they get them on. I hope they get them to court.
You think it's going to happen?
And Blitz and the guys who are working on this have said, you know, they're giving off the vibes that they
don't want to settle.
Right. So when you look at what Reggie Bush got, which is pretty alarming in terms of that lawsuit that he got against the Rams because of his injury for a declining player, what he got for that injury. When you look at the money that this settlement brought, there is a growing amount of evidence that says the Rams are not going to catch many sympathies here. And personally, I love that because, you know, we know what they did. And we also know how they did it, and those are different things. They had every right to leave. They had the cupcake lease, and it should have never been given to them. It was. They used it. They exploited it, and I think helped their cause by not caring about winning. They would debate that, and maybe we'll hear those debates in court. That'd be awesome. But the way they did it, no one can defend. They lied. And they used false information to really kick a city when it was down, and people who care about the city aren't going to forget that. And I think this is an example of not whining. And I hear people say, "Let it go and move on." Mm-mm. Okay, you know, this is an example of actually getting something done about it. Those people get their money back. Those people might take that money and decide they want to go to some MLS games.
That'd be
great. That's what I would encourage them to do if they're interested in it, or you know, use it for a charity, or use it for, you know, whatever you want to use it for. It was your money, and it was taken from you wrongfully, and it deserved to be put back, and now hopefully it will be, with more to come. So the relocation lawsuit is the one that's going to be the fascinating one to watch if it ever gets there. But I don't think that will have much interest in ending in a settlement on the St. Louis side.
We've gone a long one today. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Lots to talk about.
Manipulate.
No, and that was just Wednesday. So
yes.
Maybe next week we can actually do the week. But
so
what a couple of days.
I have one more for you. Okay, so Saturday you wrote, and I thought it was a great article. And as you know, I'm fairly passionate about the stadium being built for the MLS
I've asked Bill McDermott, speaking of lawsuits, I've asked him if he's going to countersue you as trying to steal Mr. Soccer.
No, sir. I'm as you know, I'm a little passionate about the city and seeing good things happen here for a multitude of reasons. But you wrote, and I thought you were right, you wrote, hey, after the Board of Aldermen voted 26-2 to move this forward in the resolution, and as we pointed out, the governor, the mayor, the Board of Aldermen are saying, hey, we're behind this, and a lot of things are going forward, a lot of ducks now getting in a row to make this happen, and now for Carolyn Kendall Betts and for the Kavanaughs to present to MLS here very shortly, I would assume, their presentation to the Board of Governors and Don Garber of MLS to say, hey, we think we've got a great deal here for you. Come on, let's go. I'm making it very simple in my presentation to you and my question, but essentially saying, hey, we want you. Do you want us? Is kind of what the point of your article was. And you had said, you know, hey, MLS have been saying, get your stuff in order, and for lack of a better term, and they did. And now you said, the tables have been turned. Come on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
put a little heat on them.
So curious about the response of that article. And have you heard from any of the higher ups of those that kind of are decision makers on either side about that article?
Yeah, I think their official comment was, hey, shut up and leave this to us.
Did they
no,
really?
No, they didn't. They didn't. And I think there were some people on that side that said, yeah, he makes some good points.
But which side? The
on the ownership side.
Oh, you
know,
good.
I don't think they mind seeing a little heat put on Garber. But, you know, this is the natural response is, hey, this is a process. We've been in good communication
sure.
with the league.
Sure.
But, you know, I can tell you this, and this isn't news to you, but, you know, Garber has been in touch.
Oh, yeah.
And as late as, you know, late this week, And there's he's watching.
Oh yeah,
and he's paying attention. He's optimistic about what he's seeing. What my point was is Garber has a way of tipping his hand a little bit. What he wants to get out there gets out there. You've seen comments from him about, hey, we're not pleased with that decision to maybe tear the roof off of Ford Field. We don't want to play in a football stadium. Hey, we're not thinking about expanding to the Southeast anymore. These aren't official comments in terms of who's getting a team, but he knows what he says when he puts it out there. So what I would like to see from him is a little put a little something out there about St. Louis. They're still in the stages of trying to get him here. I don't think they know for sure yet if it'll be him or some other leaders from the ownership group. But, you know, if he gets here and wants to talk while he's here to media types, that will be a sign that he's got something to say.
Yeah.
Now, the relocation, I think, is going to be – not relocation. I got NFL on my brain. Expansion, I think, is going to be addressed at the ownership meetings in New York about middle of the month. So we're coming up on it. So we'll see. You know, MLS doesn't do this like the NFL, where they don't announce it at those meetings. They kind of want to control that message. They usually like to do it, I think, in the town where it's happening. So I'm not quite sure on the X's and the O's, but you have to look at St. Louis's plan, and it has to be the most desirable to the league, even if it's not saying it to us yet.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, man. And had a chance, you know, this week to talk more with Jim Cavanaugh and Carolyn Kendall Betts, and you know, I told them. Straight up, I appreciate their willingness to answer questions about this. And I think in the past there have been times where it felt like questions weren't answered and they felt like, you know, certain things were being hidden. They're up front and they're saying, this is what we know, this is what we don't know. I think one thing that people maybe don't quite understand is the investment that it takes, that the investment and the outlook that it takes to go after an MLS team right now. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme if you're getting one of these teams. You're banking basically on two things. You're banking on soccer to succeed and become a primary sport in this country, which I think there's a lot of reasons to debate whether it will or it won't. They believe it will. And you're also banking on the community to support it. And that's kind of, I think, the place we're there at is they see it. They see both. They see the future of St. Louis. They see the future of soccer, and they're really dead set on making sure those two things grow together. The more questions you ask, the more you read about it, the more you look at the fine details, I can't find very many reasons to think that this isn't something that should be supported. The primary one being you're throwing your faith in a couple families that have done a lot for St. Louis.
I appreciate them.
How can you not? And I think their willingness to get out and say, hey, let's answer all your questions is a good sign of kind of where their head is.
You're off to the winter meetings. We'll talk to you, I guess, next Friday. Will you be in Vegas or back home?
I will be in Vegas, yeah.
Awesome, buddy.
Come on out.
I'm good.
Maybe,
Vegas.
Can I get, if I get the cat with me, can we do a three-way podcast?
He won't do it with me.
Oh, okay. He's loyal to McKernan.
No, he'll be he'll probably be at the high rollers table. So
is that right?
Probably. Thanks, buddy.
See you, man.